Under the Scope.
All right, Jared, after a lot of Shane screwing up technical things,
oh boy,
we are here at 12 o'clock, 12:30 in the morning on a weeknight for another edition of our Scope Movie Festival, to be named later. This time it is close to a winter edition.
Sure, why not?
I don't know, why not? And we just got back from the biggest movie release probably of the late fall, early winter. Of course, we're talking about the sequel to The Hunger Games.
You say, of course, like everyone knows what you're going to say.
The sequel to The Hunger Games called?
Catching Fire.
Catching Fire.
Yes.
This is a movie that stars pretty much the entire cast, plus more.
Yes.
Of the original Hunger Games. So we're talking
Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Law.
The Tooch, Stanley Tucci.
The Tooch. Tooch is huge in this movie.
Josh Hutcherson, you've got Liam Hemsworth, you've got Woody Harrelson.
Yep.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yes.
Who else? The President Snow guy.
Donald
Sutherland. Donald
Sutherland, Plutarch.
Plutarch Heavensby, he's yeah. new. That's Philip Seymour
Hoffman.
Philip
Seymour Hoffman, the Hoff, we call him.
There's
the real
whole,
Hoff.
A whole bunch of people.
Wow.
Jeffrey Jones.
It is star-studded, or at least quasi-star-studded.
Jenna Malone.
Yes.
New to the cast.
Jerry Seinfeld. He's one. He's from District 7.
Strange cameo, but he was there.
What is the deal with these weapons?
Why is everyone killing each other?
Oh, kill him with comedy. yeah, Seinfeld. I was waiting to break that one out.
Great reference.
I don't even know, Jared. It's 12:30 in the morning.
Let's talk about the movie.
Okay, so let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You're usually the summarizer.
Well, okay. So, for those of you who aren't familiar with the plot of the second book in the series, Katniss and Peeta have they won the 74th Hunger Games, and now they are forced to go on a tour of the
districts to celebrate,
sort of to celebrate and sort of pacify the masses. But since the Hunger Games ended, there has been unrest, and people are looking towards Katniss as some sort of symbol of hope, and
yeah.
of course President Snow wants to quash this, so he says that, you know, they need to make sure that their love story is strong, and
yes.
and the people will use that as a distraction and so on and so forth, but despite Katniss's and Peeta's efforts,
yeah. Katniss didn't try that hard, let's be honest. She's a bit late to get on board.
She is. She's tough egg to crack.
Doesn't feel it in her heart.
But it seems like the sentiment of the people has kind of moved on, and
yep.
and yeah, I think feel like we're losing altitude on the camera here.
Revolution is nigh, Jared.
Yes, the people are unrested. I don't. Words are hard this time of night. Let's move that camera up. Here.
Adjust it. A little adjustment. I'll look I love it. Right on the fly.
And so. The capital needs to take tougher measures in order yep. to pacify the public, and so they've decided that since Katniss is a threat to them,
yep.
all the tributes also feel like they're untouchable, and they're yep. viewed as a threat. So they decide that they are going to have the Hunger Games this time. They're going to quell, do the quarter quell. They're going to pull their tributes yep. from existing victors.
Imagine that. It just happened to fall in line with the 75th anniversary.
That's called
Jared.
Good writing.
That's good timing.
Good writing.
I think the writer, Suzanne... something or other, probably planned
Collins.
That out.
Collins.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you.
Suzanne Collins.
She's
forgive
great.
Us, it's late.
Yeah.
So guess what? Katniss, Peeta, and the whole gang are going back yeah. into the arena.
Yeah. Arrgh!
Yes.
And
so that's enough plot for
yes.
you.
Yes, and then fighting and killing and plotting.
You know, your typical...
proceeds.
Your Hunger Games
A lot
stuff.
Of people have probably read the book, so
yes.
it's not like... So I have a feeling we will get into spoiler territory.
A little bit.
Maybe. So, let's talk about this film, Jared.
Yes.
We've got a new director.
We do. He's on for the remainder of the series, too.
Yes.
What's going on here? This thing does not want to sit still.
The crowd, or the cast, very happy with the director. I'm going to say that I have sort of two issues with the film.
Okay.
One issue is with the plot itself, which sort of comes from the book.
I would hope so.
And
based on
so,
it.
I mean, let's be honest. The movie seems to be pretty faithful to
yes.
the book.
There's a lot of flavor stuff from the early in the book that's cut out necessarily.
Yeah.
You don't really get to know kind of the economics of the black market in
yeah.
District 12. I'm sorry if you were looking forward to that.
It's gone. I think they sort of gloss over the characters a little bit because they have to. There's so many.
Yeah.
And a little bit of the the machinations and the plotting that sort of drive the end arc of this part of the story is absent. It's hinted at, but I think that it's a little bit clearer, but not much, in the book. Like, there's things happening behind the scenes that you don't feel as much.
I don't know. I think that's maybe you get more of that because the book is all, you know, in Katniss's perspective.
Sure.
You don't get to know what Snow and everyone else is up to behind the scenes.
Yeah, to some extent. I guess.
I think you lose some perspective, but you gain some in other areas. So okay. Maybe it's a wash.
Maybe it is a wash. But my issue with the plot, by the way, the acting is all on point, I think, for the most part. I mean, you have some...
I still think...
You have some pretty boy and pretty girl in the... What do they call them? The tributes?
Yeah.
That are a little too WB, the CW.
Yeah, I mean, the tributes that we never really get a backstory to have always been sort of flat. Even in the books, they're flat. There's nothing there, so what do you do?
No.
To me, I think Josh Hutcherson still comes off kind of flat in his Peter role.
He is a bit flat, isn't he?
And I think because Peter takes on such a strong... He's not in the rest of the books a lot, but his presence is felt, and he sort of becomes almost more than Katniss.
Yeah, he's almost like a legend or a symbol.
So I kind of want him to maybe fill those pants a little bit more. Yeah, but
the pantalones.
What are you gonna do?
So my issue with the book,
yes,
is that I feel like it in this, and you sort of got like a. Middle part of the sequel-itis, where...
This is Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, it is sort of Empire Strikes Back, where you're not left with any sort of easy endings or anything that wraps it up. It's essentially set up for the final act. And to get to this point, I feel like Katniss is just a cog in the system. Whereas in the first one, I feel like she was more... in control of her own fate.
Yeah, she was making conscious choices to survive, and some of those choices were really hard, but...
And everything that's happening around her is done in a... She's unaware. There's things happening that are...
I want to sit still. I don't know what the deal is.
That's not too bad, though. That's controlling her destiny.
Yeah.
And so that's...
So she sort of has her plan of how she wants things to go, but things are different behind the scenes.
Yeah. So,
and that's a, and that if that's a fault, that's a fault of the source material.
It is,
because that's just how it goes.
And I think, and I've said this before, I think in the third part of the story, they're going to have to do a lot of work, because I think the third part of the story comes off the rails.
And so
I think things are going to have to change. And I hope.
But let's deal with
that
when we get to it. Let's talk about. Let's just keep it on track here.
So the other part that has nothing to do with the story, is that this clearly is a film with more budget.
It's
clearly a film that wants to make the world bigger, and in doing so, I think it loses a bit of its. The first movie had a bit of quiet resonance, where everything wasn't punctuated by a large orchestral hit. Things were sort of let to linger. And
so you're speaking more to the actual craftsmanship of the film.
I am
less about the scope of the world.
I am speaking of that.
Okay.
Like I felt that that bombastic was sort of the way that the director wanted to go.
And I would agree with you to some extent. I mean, there's kind of a relentlessness to this.
Yeah.
And there's so much darkness in this middle act of the story that there isn't a lot of chance to sort of breathe and collect yourself.
It's very much driving. It's a driving, almost a slave-like dedication to the source material.
Yeah.
That sort of forces you, okay, we've got to hit this point. We've got to hit this point. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep going. And we'll ratchet up the drama and the motion by the swelling of the music. And I didn't like that as much. I'll be honest with you. It wasn't...
It didn't
work for me as much.
I didn't mind it. Other than maybe having some pauses to sort of catch my breath a little bit, metaphorically speaking. I didn't mind the pace. I didn't mind the bombast. As sort of a counterpoint to that, I'll go back to talking about the scope of the world.
Scope score
I like the fact that it was bigger.
Two and one half stars.
And it really almost makes me wish that they could go back and redo the first one a little bit.
Sure.
Or not that I want them to go back and do it, because that's just that's troublesome. But, you know, it makes you almost think that if they had the money, had dedicated the budget to the first one, we could have gotten this grand scope initially. But, you know, at the same time, maybe it's good that things start small and you sort of peel back the onion a little
sure.
bit and you see more and more of the world. So
I feel I have to be honest with you. I appreciate what the filmmaker did with less in the first one. Not to say that he couldn't have done it.
Mm.
He couldn't have done it in the same way or
there's some rough spots. I mean, I
agree with you, but I don't know. It seemed like it was less calculated and more about telling a slightly different kind of story. And maybe part of it has to do with the fact that there's a lot of repeated beats in this sequel because, you know, they're going back into the battle. So it's not like there's things here that are completely original.
Right. We've seen
I'm a bit
the Hunger
jaded.
Games before now, so we're kind of familiar with the mechanics of it.
I'm a bit jaded by that.
Okay.
So that being said, I don't think it was
Would you be so jaded by it if you hadn't read the book already? Now you're sort of addressing the same material multiple times because you saw the first movie,
sure.
you read the first book, read the second book, and now you've seen the second movie. You're kind of in your fourth Hunger
sure.
Games. I mean, I am too, for that matter.
Well, and keep in mind that I'm saying that it is really dedicated and holds close to the second book, but I haven't read it in quite a long time. So
right.
there may be things like, I don't remember if there were apes in the book.
There were.
Okay, so
they were, and I don't really think that they left out much of anything.
Sure.
Other than sort of streamlining and shortening things. I think they've kind of
yeah.
hit everything.
I mean,
for the most part.
I sort of compare this film, you know, if you want to compare this to another series, like the Harry Potter series,
yeah.
for instance, where I feel like the first two Harry Potter movies were really, really on point in terms of we're going to hit every beat we can because there's so much and they're so dense.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time you got to the third one, they started cutting a little bit of stuff out.
Well, and
maybe they had, I mean, they
yeah,
had
Yeah, the
to.
Books got so, longer, too. So,
but it was almost like a forced editing, and I guess that's not a really great comparison because I think the first Hunger Games is not a terribly long book, so and they cover just about everything in there. I guess it's just how it's projected on the screen and portrayed to me. I think I'm sort of getting stuck on the directing choices and some of the creative choices that were made that I guess I just didn't like as much. I felt that it took away from the characters, which I really like, and made it more about artificially creating stuff that didn't necessarily need to be artificial.
I don't know. I feel like you're trying to pick holes into something that if anything, you have faults with the source material. That's my opinion.
I noticed from the get-go that the music was more. The sound was more.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was more.
I don't disagree with you that.
That's what I'm talking about.
But is that not, I mean, the stakes are higher, too. Is that, does that not follow that maybe the production is going to follow suit?
Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, listen, it did not impact you or did not bother you as much as it bothered me.
No.
I
really enjoyed the movie.
I enjoyed the movie as well. But I think if you stripped it down a little bit, even if you presented the exact same stuff on the screen, but then you pulled back a little bit, I think that it would have been a better movie. I think it would have been a better movie. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I stand by it.
I'm going to disagree with you on that, because I'm finding very, very little, other than some acting performances here and there, and maybe a little bit of bombast at times, I'm not finding a lot to dislike about this movie. So, there.
I guess we'll have to disagree to disagree.
Okay.
Hey, we can't always like the same stuff.
Oh. Nope.
So that's why...
You're out of frame, son.
There we go.
The camera hates you. It hates your opinion and it hates you.
Wow. I think we're a little punchy here at 12:43.
We are punchy. It's 12:45 here, Central Time Zone. I'm pulling into your driveway.
I've got to be up in 5 hours.
Yikes.
So, yes, I'm going to be tired. It's 5 hours right now. But I have to say, I don't think that it was a letdown. I think that it was in the realm of what it needed to be. I just wish that it would have been a little bit more on the subtle side on certain things. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. And I think it was fantastic. I loved it quite a bit.
Did you love all the costume changes? There was constant?
Sure.
Costume changes? Okay.
There's costume... Again, all of this is in the source material, so if anything, you have to fault the source material for...
My wife was looking out the door.
For having costume changes and huge scope and, you know...
Well, the thing is, Jared, I can't say, well, if there are things in the book that I don't like and they put it in the movie, I can't say, well, it's in the book. It's in the movie. There's nothing I can do about that. It still means that there are aspects of the story that I take issue with.
Okay. Well,
I just think,
at an impasse at this point. So
I just think I think that they focus on more about the world and less about the people in the world. And maybe that is an issue of we've got so much story to tell and we have to get to point C in the story because we're starting at point B and there's so many things we have to get to that they just have to like just put their head down and push through. I like the human element of the first story, the first movie, and the first book better than was in the second movie, and probably in the second book. That's just my opinion.
Okay,
stand by it.
That's fine.
Stand by it.
I'm not trying to change your mind.
Good. Well, I'm glad. So we can give it a score.
Let's do that.
The Scoop score is 3.5 stars.
So there we go. 3.5 stars. That's a happy face right there. You should keep all that stuff in. And we didn't even talk about the fashion show and the red carpet beforehand.
No need for that.
1 hour. That might actually have to be in a Scope episode. Oh, we can talk about that.
We can. Yes.
It'll be perfect. Anyway, so
it's a long night, guys.
We're tired. We're going home. We're going to bed. More movies. More Scope.
Eventually.
In the future. Eventually. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.